time sure does fly, because you have to go back an astonishing 22 years to find the origins of the Tomb Raider franchise, when Lara Croft's original adventure, developed by now-defunct studio Core Design, launched on PlayStation, Saturn, and PC in 1996. But for all of the series' critical and commercial heft, it largely remained on the periphery for me. I rented the original Tomb Raider and its sequel as the 90s waned, and I randomly got Tomb Raider 3 for Christmas in 1998, although I wasn't particularly enamored by it. The series just didn't click for me. So I tapped out and wouldn't return until California-based developer Crystal Dynamics took over the franchise at the advent of the PS3 and Xbox 360 era. I liked Tomb Raider Legends and Tomb Raider Anniversary just fine, I even got the Platinum Trophy in one of them as I recall, but when Crystal Dynamics unleashed 2013's simply titled Tomb Raider, the franchise grabbed my attention in a more permanent and appreciative way. Finally, Lara Croft was a fleshed out and interesting protagonist with depth, emotion, and range, and with depth in character came depth in gameplay. Tomb Raider had entered a new era, and I was intrigued. I couldn't help but pay attention to how the once buxom, scantily clad archaeologist became, well, actually real. Shadow of the Tomb Raider is the third release in this reimagined Tomb Raider run, joining the aforementioned Tomb Raider from 2013 and 2015's Rise of the Tomb Raider. The former I only played for a bit, it was a victim of a busy gaming schedule and I opted not to return to it, but I got far deeper into Rise of the Tomb Raider, obsessively finding collectibles and exploring every nook and cranny before inexplicably quitting towards the end. I don't know why I do that sometimes, but I do. Even so, I was interested in how Shadow of the Tomb Raider would strike me. Would I enjoy it as much as the previous game? Would it hold my attention? Would it, like 2013's Tomb Raider, fall to the wayside before I even saw most of it, or be left mostly done but still incomplete like I left Rise of the Tomb Raider? Turns out Shadow of the Tomb Raider held my attention just fine. I had lots of fun playing it. But that doesn't mean it's not a flawed game in its own right, because in more ways than one, it most certainly is. Shadow of the Tomb Raider begins mere months after Rise of the Tomb Raider ends and finds Lara chasing after an ancient Mayan artifact in South America, a markedly different destination from her previous adventure. Not surprisingly, Lara's seemingly straightforward quest blows up in her face and quickly becomes about far more than merely treasure. Perhaps not surprisingly, the antagonists from Rise of the Tomb Raider, a mysterious organization known as Trinity, are hot on her heels this time too. But I'll be vague about the plot from here so as to not spoil anything. Oh, and all of the footage you're seeing is only from the first 25 or 30% of the game, so there aren't too many spoilers in what you're viewing, though the game's constant lighting changes made capturing consistent-looking footage a bit of a challenge for me. Sorry about that. I felt immersed in Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Its world felt alive and lived in when it was supposed to, and long abandoned and overrun at other times. Unlike Rise of the Tomb Raider, which was mostly snowy and alpine, Shadow of the Tomb Raider is decidedly Mesoamerican, with tons of greens and blues, think tree canopies and clear skies, accompanying stunning jewelry and other artifacts, often gold, silver, or platinum, adorned with jade and other precious jewels. There's a distinct aesthetic in Shadow of the Tomb Raider that can certainly feel monotonous at times, but an aesthetic that also makes perfect sense, all things considered. The indigenous peoples you encounter are likewise a diverse folk, sometimes wearing traditional garb, armed with traditional weapons, and other times more typically Western in appearance and armament, friend and foe alike. Their settlements and towns are bursting with activity, and you can even take the time to interact with many of the people you find, whether merely in passing or to complete one of the game's optional side quests peppered in alongside the main story. At the heart of Shadow of the Tomb Raider is a variety of exploration that seamlessly teams linearity in terms of its story and delivery with non-linearity in terms of its larger environments. One could likely beat Shadow of the Tomb Raider in 10 hours, but why would you? That's not where the fun lies. The fun here is in advancing the story slowly, going to the waypoints only when you're ready to. Like the previous two games, open environments are stitched together in sequence, funneling you in a specific direction while encouraging you to see and do everything you can. You'll be pressing the right analog stick in constantly as you send pulses through the environments, so that you can see golden and yellow lit points of interest all around you. Sometimes those points of interest are collectibles, like documents, ciphers, or relics. Other times, those points of interest are parts of the environment you can interact with. Perhaps you can shoot a rope tied to an arrow at a wall to tear it down, or scamper up a tree to swing from branch to branch. By merely running through and ignoring everything around you, you quite literally miss the forest for the trees. But even if you don't want to get quite that philosophical, you'll miss most of what Eidos Montreal packed into the adventure for you to find and uncover. I say Eidos Montreal because unlike Tomb Raider and Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider was created by Eidos Montreal with the help of Crystal Dynamics, and not the other way around, which was the case during the first two adventures in this reimagined offshoot of the Tomb Raider franchise. But it's doubtful you'll really notice the difference. It reminds me a bit of Bioshock 2 or Fallout New Vegas, games people were hard on only because they knew that the original teams at Irrational and Bethesda respectively didn't make them. But if I didn't just tell you that Crystal Dynamics wasn't the creative force behind Shadow of the Tomb Raider, would you have ever known? It's unlikely. And that's a good thing. That's the entire idea. Another thing I liked a great deal about Shadow of the Tomb Raider is how well it balanced its three gameplay pillars, exploration, puzzle solving, and combat. Indeed, emphasis is placed on the three in the order I just listed them off. Much of Shadow of the Tomb Raider revolves around scurrying through various environments, finding whatever you can, uncovering clues, and soaking in your beautiful surroundings. Every so often you'll run into a puzzle that you have to solve, almost always environmental in nature, sometimes requiring a few steps to see through, but nothing truly unsolvable. And that comes from someone, me, who isn't the most talented at solving video game puzzles. I get easily frustrated, but here, I never got truly annoyed. And then, when it's appropriate, the designers at Eidos Montreal throw in combat. I love shooting things in video games as much as the next person, but it's cool to play a game where violence isn't necessarily at the center of everything you do. It's often necessary, but it doesn't come off as heinous. And even if the plot is supernatural in nature, and therefore the opposite of grounded, it did feel more realistic that Lara would only occasionally come to blows with her adversaries, as opposed to on a constant basis, like in a typical video game. Shadow of the Tomb Raider inherently relies on stealth, and it's when you keep quiet, sneak around, and subdue your enemies without a peep that the game truly shines. Stabbing unaware foes in the back never gets old, nor does using Lara's bow to send an arrow flying through a skull. In fact, Lara's bow feels awesome, and I loved using it. However, Shadow of the Tomb Raider's combat diminishes greatly in enjoyment and playability when stealth is broken and when the enemy is onto you. Not only is it disappointing when an enemy sees you, but the game instantly becomes less fun and less playable when they do. You'll find yourself scrolling through the start menu to restart the last checkpoint, not only because it's a bummer to be found when you're trying to be quiet, but because being found so significantly degrades your control. Whether or not this design is intentional remains to be seen, but it would have been cool to have tighter and more fluid combat controls, just in case you're the type of guy or gal who likes to go in guns blazing instead of crawling around in the mud waiting for your chance to strike. Shadow of the Tomb Raider's litany of weapon options give you the impression that all styles are welcome, but reality doesn't quite play that out. I'm flummoxed when a game's shooting controls, whether in first or third person, don't quite feel right, because so many games have nailed shooter gameplay over the last decade. So why does Shadow of the Tomb Raider feel so stiff, heavy, and chaotic? I think my biggest problem with Shadow of the Tomb Raider, though, is actually Lara herself. I'm not of the mind that you have to root for a game's protagonist, or like them even, any more than I feel like you have to root for or like the main characters of a television show or movie. I simply felt like I couldn't relate to Lara. I couldn't relate to her motivations or her disposition. She comes off as arrogant and profoundly selfish and even abusive to those around her. Her so-called best friend, Jonah, who is in both 2013's Tomb Raider and Rise of the Tomb Raider, and plays a key role here too, is a pushover. He's meek, impossible to anger, and the person most often steamrolled by Croft. I wish I liked Lara more, but I don't. And for as much emotion as they place in her, there were plenty of times where I couldn't stand her, especially early on. Truly bad things happen because of her in the game that otherwise wouldn't have happened at all, and she seems to have little remorse. She just moves forward. Perhaps that's a positive character trait at times, but I wish I felt connected to her on the whole. She becomes more bearable as the game treks onward, and when she starts helping people to help people and not because it benefits her, even though she remains partially or wholly responsible for much of the chaos. Still, as I alluded to before, I'd much rather have this Lara than old big-boobed Lara any day of the week. Serious flaws aside, Camilla Luddington's rendition of Lara Croft is about 1,000 steps in the right direction compared to what once was. Range doesn't always mean likability, I suppose. While I didn't care much for Lara's personality, I did care a great deal for the level of customization she can undergo. Everything you do in the game, from uncovering secrets to proceeding with the story to killing enemies and more, nets you experience points. Those experience points in turn level you up and give you skill points that can be slotted into a 4-branch skill tree. Furthermore, Lara can both purchase and cobble together upgrades that give her new armor, strengthen her weapons, craft curative items and ammunition, and much more. While running around to explore is fun on its own, particularly because so much of the game's story is told through collectibles, strengthening Lara is a blast too, and gives you true agency over when and how she gets stronger. It does get old collecting endless materials as you run through the game, but you quickly forget about the tedium when you have a new, powerful piece of gear that makes the journey easier for you. Spending skill points, crafting goods, and more is done around the game's many campfires, not unlike Rise of the Tomb Raider, and you can even quick travel between them if you've left certain things behind, or want to take another go at finding a missing collectible or two. Just be wary of the game's ridiculous load times as you jump around. And when I say ridiculous, I mean ridiculous. You'll see. All in all, I liked Shadow of the Tomb Raider, even if it has some serious flaws. It's a game where both sides of the coin are relevant. Combat is fun and rewarding in stealth, and far less so when seen and when using firearms. Lara is a self-centered manipulator, seemingly out for herself first and foremost, but she's also a dynamic and deep character who proudly wears her flaws on her sleeve. There's a ton to do in the game, which can be overwhelming for some, but you can do everything at your own pace, and often not at all. The game even totes a range of customization very rarely seen in any video game, particularly from a granular difficulty level, which allows you to separate combat, puzzle solving, and exploration. It's super cool and super novel. The next 6 months are a busy, busy time in gaming though, so whether or not you play Shadow of the Tomb Raider will rely a whole lot more on if you can wedge it into your schedule than whether you should. Tomb Raider fans will obviously want to jump in. Those who enjoy third-person action and puzzle solving may want to give it a go too. What remains to be seen, however, is whether or not Shadow of the Tomb Raider is ultimately worth the time investment when so much could easily summon your attention. As usual, that's a decision that's up to you to make, and you alone.